Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message. I pray today, God, that you would come and minister to us afresh and anew. Open eyes to see and open ears to hear. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm glad you're here. Praise God. Happy New Year. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Aren't you thankful you're in church today? There's a lot of sissies that didn't want to come to church today because it's too cold. But how many of y'all know there's lots of things we go to and it don't matter whether it's cold or not? How many of y'all know we need to be in the house of the Lord, whether it's cold or hot or however it is? And I believe if you came today, I believe God's going to speak into your life. And before we get started, I just want to let you know that we are going to be fasting. Ooh, it got quiet in here. We're going to be fasting from January 7th to the 16th. That's 10 days. Don't worry, it's not 21 days. Done 21 days several times, and I read the book of Daniel last year and said, you know what, he fasted 10 days. He also did 21, but I'm sticking with the 10. That just sounds more spiritual. Can I get an amen out there? Praise the Lord. And there's some of y'all need to do it for the sake of your health. Number two, you need to do it for your spiritual growth. And I believe together as we do this, and I want to encourage you, what we do with fasting, what I notice every year when I fast, I realize how much I eat. Don't look at me judgmental. You all do the same thing as well. But how many times do you, like J.C. Campbell, give you a fireball? Right? When I'm fasting, I realize how much I eat and how many times I walk into somebody's office and they have a Snickers bar there and I eat a Snickers bar. And then an hour later, I go to lunch and there's so many things. And so on the flip side of that, what we're trying to do is pay attention to our spiritual walk with Christ. In fact, there's a story in the Gospels that talks about a boy that the disciples could not cast the devil out of. And Jesus said, only this kind comes out through prayer and fasting. And I'm here to tell you, if you need a miracle in your family, you need a miracle in your finances, you need a miracle in 2022, I want to encourage you to fast and pray. Because I believe miracles will happen through that time. But I realize how much when I go to the offices and I eat all this different stuff, how many times throughout the day am I hearing things of the world and putting in my spirit that I don't need to be putting in me? Right? Listening to things, paying attention to things, looking at things. And so what it does is make me realize of me saying no to the food, it makes me say no to the other things. And so it really opens eyes to see and ears to hear. And if you've never fasted before, I want to encourage you to fast. In fact, I told a story about a guy that was telling me of a ministry he does on the north side of town. And these Hindu kids, these Muslim boys, they fast 1 week out of the month every year. They drink or out of the month every year, 12 times a year. And I thought to myself, these are teenage boys that do that. I can't even get grown adults to do it. And they drink nothing but water. Nothing but water. So if you're going to fast, I promise you, number one, you should fast social media. Can I get an amen out there? All right? There ain't no good on there anyway. But number two, I want to encourage you to really fast something. Like, I'm going to drink water for 10 days. I will drink coffee because the Bible says on the sixth day he created the coffee bean. And come on. How many of y'all, I drink it black, so there's no harm, no foul, and it's from the earth. But I will drink coffee and water for 10 days. And I'm telling you, it's a stretch. But I'm telling you, God will do something big in your life. And on the 16th, we're going to come together that Sunday night. And we're going to pray, we're going to worship the Lord, and I believe revival is going to happen in here when we break the fast. So who's going to fast with us? All right. What I want you to do is write this down. Text fasting 22 to 94,000. And every day I'm going to send you a video on that day of fasting. It's going to be me and just a word of encouragement for us to fast together. So I'm excited for 2022. Who's with me? Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them in Matthew chapter 5. Next week, I'm starting a brand new series called When He. Last year, as I read the Bible through the Gospels, I saw several times where Jesus said, where it talks about Jesus, when he fasted is one of them, when he prayed, and when he gave. And so I'm excited about the text next week, but we are finishing up a series, and how many of y'all know we can't leave on the cliffhanger of one beatitude left? And that's what we've been studying is the Beatitudes. And I believe we're in a culture and a world today where people have an attitude. And how many of y'all know we need to have the right attitude? In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What he's saying in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as he is starting this up, he's talking to Jews, and he's saying, when you come into the kingdom of God, you talk different. You walk different. You do things different from the world. And he sets this up on the mountainside, talking about the Beatitudes, and it paints a picture of where we are today. It's countercultural. All these things of what he asks us to do, of how we'll walk in blessing, is totally different from what the way the world would teach you. But how many of y'all know the word is better than the world? And it says in verse 3, Matthew 5, 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We saw that week of the poor in spirit were absolutely destitute if it wasn't for the Lord. How many of y'all know you wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for Jesus? The car that you drive, the home that you live in, the friends that you have, all the things that God has blessed you with and has made you happy, I'm telling you, we wouldn't have it if it wasn't for Jesus. You know, I'm telling you, there would be a different attitude in the world today if people realized that their relationship with the Lord is number one, everything else is number two. The second thing, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. When you have the attitude of the one who mourns, I promise you the comforter will come to you. And I believe on that week, as we taught that, I believe there was healing that took place in this room. They switched from the place of mourning to being the one that is the comforter. Then the attitude of blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Pastor was telling me the other day, he studied the word meek before, and it's being submitted. It's someone who is teachable. How many of y'all know we need some meek people in the world today? It says that you will inherit the earth. Number six, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled, or you will be satisfied. I'm telling you, you won't be satisfied by the car. You won't be satisfied by the girl. You won't be satisfied by the horse or the trailer or the boat or the house. Only thing that brings satisfaction is those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I've been judgmental, you've been judgmental. He says when you're merciful, you'll receive mercy in your life. The attitude of the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. If you were here last week, God has not called you to be a peacekeeper. Put it under the rug. God's called you to make peace inside of your home. Make peace inside of your culture, inside of your neighborhood. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When peace is active in your life, I promise you, people see you as a child of God. Here's the last one. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. A couple of weeks ago, I told you this as a family and all of us in this room. I no longer want to be a Christian home. I want to be a Christ-centered home in my home. But here's the deal. When you're a Christ-centered home, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. In fact, as I was studying this and just thinking it over inside of my spirit and chewing on this word for you today, number 8 is a product of numbers 1 through 7. I want you to think about that. When you're walking in 1 through 7, what you get is number 8. Think about that. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, people will mock you. Think about it. If you're going to be pure in heart, people is going to make fun of you. You're going to have family members make fun of you. You're going to have people on the team that's with you make fun of you. If you made the decision to be a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper, people will slander you. If you have the heart or the attitude of poor in spirit, I promise you, people are going to come against you. How many of y'all believe that? And so today, as we talk about number 8, you need to realize it is a product of 1 through 7. In the NIV, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I don't know about you, but I believe we can live heaven here on this earth. But isn't it something that it says it's the ones who are persecuted that live, have the kingdom of heaven here on this earth? It says, "God blesses those who are persecuted," this is the NLT, "for doing right." How do y'all know that's a righteous life? Right standing with God, but right living here on this earth is righteousness as well. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven," or "the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Here's the last one, Message translation. I like this. "You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom." Persecution in the dictionary, it says this: hostility or ill treatment, especially towards race, political stance, or your religious beliefs. Now, how many of y'all believe we're in a time of persecution today in 2022? Come on, I'm going to ask it again. How many of y'all believe we're in a time of persecution today in 2022? I mean, in 2020, liquor stores could stay open, but not churches. How many of y'all know that is persecution? There was somebody in the church today that had tested popped hot for COVID and wanted to get one of those infusions. Signed up to get an infusion here in town, and they sent back and said, "I'm sorry, you cannot get an infusion. The only ones we're getting infusions for is African Americans, Asians, and Hispanics." Now, I love all of them. I love everybody. How many of y'all know red, yellow, black, and white? We are precious in His sight. But how many, and so they rejected her because she was a white girl. I said, just put Pez on the end of it. Benepetez. Amen. Praise the Lord. Michelle Gray Pez. Just tell them that you identify as a Hispanic or an African American. How many of y'all know that is persecution? Come on, let's just get real. That is persecution. We're living in a time, I believe we're not persecuted like other people in the world, but we're living in a time and day that you are persecuted for saying whatever you want to say. How many of y'all know people died on the battlegrounds in World War I and World War II in this country of America that I can say what I want to say, right? And so we're living in a time of persecuted. And I want to tell you this, you don't just have to be a preacher to be persecuted. Now, if I showed you my direct messages on Facebook after some messages that I have preached from here that people have watched, I promise you, you would say that I have been persecuted. But I don't care. I won't shut up. I won't give up. I will still declare the good news of the Lord. Amen. Zuckerberg can go fly a kite. If he comes to the panhandle like last week, he would have a great job doing it, all right? And so, as I was thinking about persecution, I was thinking about illustrations throughout the Word of God. Obviously, I thought about the book of Daniel. And if you study the book of Daniel, you see persecution. But I thought all the way back to the book of Genesis, the first illustration of persecution in the Bible is between two brothers, Cain and Abel. And if you look back on that story, and I won't go into that, you can study that. In fact, those of you that are reading the Bible through in a year, you're about to read that story, or maybe you read it this morning, of Cain and Abel. But it wasn't because Abel was preaching to Cain that Cain was angry, right? Cain was angry because Abel was living the right way and sin convicted Cain. Can I tell you, when you live the right way, it will convict other people? It's not that they're against you, they're just against the right thing that you're doing and they wish they were doing that thing. Can we be honest out there? Can we be honest that sometimes people, because how many of y'all know hurt people hurt people? And convicted people will convict you. And when there's mud in their fountain, they want mud in your fountain as well. They can't see that you're living right and not doing the things of the world. I'm telling you, they become jealous of that and they will persecute you. And so that's the story of what happens there between Cain and Abel. But it even goes more than that. Like, if you're a young lady or a young man out there that's dating someone, I'm telling you, you will have persecution from your friends or maybe even the one that you're dating if you save yourself for marriage. And I want to tell you right now, great is your reward. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Can I get an amen from the moms and dads out there? You'll be persecuted. You'll be persecuted when you say to your friends, I'm sorry, I'm not going to see that movie. There's poop inside the brownies. If y'all were here a couple weeks ago, you know exactly what I'm saying. We sign up to watch sin. I'm sick of doing that, and I'm not doing it anymore. Amen? And so when you do that, there's going to be persecutions. Oh, you're self-righteous. You're not better than me. How many of y'all have heard that before? Quit acting like you're better than me. Or I'm not going to play sports on Sunday with my four-year-old. There's people like, this is my four-year-old's future of soccer. Come on, if you want them to have a good future, have them in Sunday school where they're raised up in the admonition of the Lord. Amen? I mean, like the 15th or the weekend of the 15th, I'm going to Albuquerque with the boys, and Brandy is going to Midland with Addison, but I promise you we'll drive all night and be in the house of God on Sunday because that's where we're supposed to be. Amen? Come on, I need a better amen than that for 2022. Praise the Lord. You will have persecution for people. Oh, you can just miss one Sunday. But can I tell you, one Sunday leads to two. And two leads to three. And three leads to four. Now you're serving the God of volleyball or the God of wrestling or the God of, you know, you pick the name, rather than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Come on, I know this is hard preaching, but this is the kingdom of God that I'm talking about. This is kingdom principles. Maybe you got some crazy thing, maybe that's happened in your life right now, and there's people in the world, maybe even family members, that say, where is God right now? How many of y'all have ever experienced that? Where is your God right now? So today, I need you to realize this, that whatever is happening to you is because, it's not because I'm doing things wrong. This is happening because you're doing things right. I mean, y'all know there's a devil out there that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God comes to give life and life more abundantly. Can I tell you, this word still works if you work it. You know, just this week, I got phone calls from people that were sick. And I know right away the phone call of people that are listening to the word of God. I know right away the people that are not. So I'm going to say it again because you don't listen to me. Prayer works if you work it. The name of Jesus works if you work it. The blood of Jesus works if you work it. Come on. The word works when you work it. Your mouth works if you work it the right way. You have what you say. If you say, I'm a goner, or I'm getting it too, oh, here it comes. I'm telling you, get ready, because it's coming, because you have what you say. And so today, what I want to do is, I want to prepare us for persecution, because we need to stay deep-rooted in the Lord. Because I'm telling you, you think persecution's bad now, persecution has nothing on what it's about to be. I'm just going to say it with all my heart. It's not, I'm telling you, the weak are going to get weaker, but the strong are going to get stronger. I say that with all sincerity. It's going to get worse than it's ever been. Thou saith the Lord. Right? But I believe this. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I believe those that are strong, I believe there is revival that's coming to the land in Jesus' name. Miracles, signs, and wonders. But it ain't going to be easy. And so here's the first thing. How do we prepare for persecution? Number one, you expect it. Happy New Year. The Bible tells us this. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Did you hear that? That's from the Word. I'm going to say it again. In fact, everyone, everybody say everyone. That's todo. That's everyone. Who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How many of y'all know you're going to be persecuted when you hunger and thirst after righteousness? It's just like during the month of Halloween. We're those people on the block that have no candy out there. We turn off all the lights and we don't celebrate it. Now, here's the deal. You may not have the same conviction that I do, but I encourage you to study Halloween. And you can go back in October of when in the morning sessions. How many of y'all learned something what I taught on Halloween and what it really means? But here's the deal. We don't play with darkness in my home. How many of y'all know there's enough darkness in the world today? And you may think that it's innocent of what you're doing, and I believe you have a heart that truly thinks that it is. But I'm telling you, I've put my foot down in our home, and my kids have got persecuted at school because we don't celebrate Halloween. You need to expect persecution when you make the right decision in life. And I'm not coming down on you if you still celebrate it. I'm telling you, I believe God will bring conviction to your heart about it as well. Don't just tune off the message because I can't believe he's one of those, right? Here's another thing. There's been times where we've been persecuted as parents. One of the decisions that we made a couple years ago that we didn't want our kids staying the night at other people's houses. Because as a youth pastor and as a pastor, we have learned this, that sometimes when a kid stays the night at somebody's house that looks right on the outside has skeletons inside the closet. And I'm going to protect my kid because I know in my home the word of God stands. In my home, I know prayer is active inside of my home. And so I'm not just going to let my kids go off to some Yahoo's house that I know they're not protected. And I will drive through the night at midnight from a birthday party to pick up my kids, but we are standing on the conviction to doing that. Has there been persecution against us? 100% yes, but I don't care. My kids' lives matter to me. And parents, you need to have the same thing as well. Well, don't you trust us? I mean, I've had it all. I believe are good people, but if I make the rule for one, I got to make the rule for all of them. Now, they can go to families' homes, but as far as just anybody, even people in the church. Come on, who am I preaching to this morning? You're going to go through some persecution when you stand up for what you're going to have inside of your home. In John 15, 18 through 20, it says this, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." This is Jesus speaking. "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." Come on, how many of y'all know that's good news this morning? That's the gospel. It says that is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Those of you that were here last week, I ended with inviting you back for this message and how important it is. But I remember being, if you weren't here, I remember being at my granny's home in Breckenridge, Texas on the lake there, and she had one of those old school bug zappers. You know what I'm talking about? With the light inside of it. You'd be sitting around there at night, you're Can I tell you this? This is just cowboy knowledge right here, or coffee pot talk. When you got the light turned on the inside of you, you're going to have bugs. Right? When you got the light of Jesus turned on the inside of you, I'm telling you, there's going to be things that are going to try to bug you out of your walk with Christ. And I'm telling you, stay the good fight. Run the race. Do what God has called you to do. Who's listening this morning? Here's number two. So number one, you need to expect it. Number two, you need to endure it. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12. "We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted," listen, "we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. when we have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. What does it say? When we are persecuted, we endure it. And how many, I believe this, across the world, as far as America, yes, there is light persecution, and I believe there's more to come. But what's going on in the world today, there's places in the world, if they confess Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, no questions asked, they are killed and slaughtered right there on site. So our persecution is very light compared to others. But when you endure persecution, can I just say this? Your spiritual roots grow deeper. How many of y'all believe you're stronger today because of the things you went through 2 years ago? Come on. How many of you believe you are stronger today because of what happened 10 years ago in your life? You can fight today because God reminds you of how he was there then, how he's going to be there today, and how he'll be there down the road for you. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Your intimacy with Christ increases when you're going through persecution. Your spiritual resolve strengthens. Think about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children that would not bow down to the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. He said, if we die, we die. When they come to him, he says, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. Can I tell you, when they went into that furnace and there was a fourth man in the fire with them, don't you know that it increased the faith of not only Nebuchadnezzar, but the three Hebrew children that were inside of them that said, if God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? I'm telling you, you need to learn how to endure it because it's going to build your faith on the inside of you. David said this, it was good that I was afflicted that I might see the attributes of the Lord. Come on, how can you see his faithfulness if you didn't have the chance to have faith? Faith only works when you're working faith. Come on. Are those times where there's been sickness and disease that's been on your body? I'm telling you, when you had to cry out to the Lord and said, you are Jehovah Rapha, you are the God who heals. How can he be the healer unless he can heal your body? How can he be Jehovah Jireh unless he has moments to show you that he is your provider? How can he be Jehovah Rohi if he doesn't have the moments to show you that he is your shepherd? How can he be Jehovah Sikkenu that he is your righteousness? Come on, who am I talking to this morning? That you're going to go through some things. I may be in the fire, but there's a fourth man in the fire with me. I need to learn how to endure it. When you're not being persecuted, I believe this, you're at a disadvantage because it weakens you. How many of y'all know when you're weak, you ain't gonna fight? When you're in the rocking chair of your Christian walk with Christ, I promise you, get ready for things to fall apart. Sometimes I get a little aggravated that there's too much going on, but I promise you, the more I walk with Christ, the more I wanna fight. That means I'm doing what God has called me to do. That means I've got the light turned on and there's bugs that are trying to get in. I'm ready to zap them. I don't know about you, but I'm coming into 2022 ready to zap the bugs that come into my life. When you're persecuted, it weeds out the weak. It brings unity. It brings passion. It makes the strong stronger. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, as Paul is talking to the Corinthians church, I thought about this morning. It says this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. I'm telling you, the enemy can do everything he can to make you weak, but what happens is it gets turned around and there's strength that comes through the word of God. There's strength that comes in prayer. There's strength that comes of being in his presence and being in the house of God. I came across this quote talking about families in the room here. Moms and dads, I want you to lean in on this. Because when your family stands together, Christ-centered, it will bring unity inside of your home. But listen to this. Where family identity is strong, meaning your kids know our identity is, this is where we stand and we don't falter from it. We stand on the word of God, the principles and the teachings of the word of God. This is how we're going to live. When your family and your kids have that identity and know that, listen to this. When your family identity is strong, peer pressure is weak. Where family identity is weak, peer pressure is strong. Like when your kids don't know where you stand, everything in the world is going to affect them. But when you stand, mom and dad, saying, I am standing on the principles and teachings of the Word of God. I am not wavering to the left or the right. I don't care what the neighbor says. I don't care, son, what your best friend's mom and daddy say. I am staying. I'm doing what God says to do, and I'm going to do what God is going to do in me. Come on, who's with me this morning? When you have that identity, peer pressure becomes weak because you say, you know, no matter what, this is what we're going to do. Isn't that a good quote? It says, we need to know who we are. You need to know who you are. And what you stand for. You got to know that. I'm telling you, that's great family identity. Number one, expect it. Number two, endure it. Number three, you ready? Embrace it. When you are persecuted on your job, think of that as a privilege. You really need to, because I'm going to show you a scripture here in a minute. Thank God you get to suffer like his son who gave it all for you. All right? This is a privilege. It's a privilege when your neighbors do it. It's a privilege at Christmas when your family persecutes you for not joining in on all the family festivities and saying, you know what, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. I'm not walking that way anymore. I walk in the kingdom of God. I talk in the kingdom of God. I do things according to the kingdom of God. So here's the scripture, 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. I'm going to read out of the New Living Testament. It says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. Happy New Year. For those trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. So that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Lean in here. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. I'm going to say that again. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. Come on, what are we talking about? Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to say it one more time because you still ain't getting it. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. Come on, isn't that good? For the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God. This is the exciting part to me. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. Come on, how many of y'all know it's a privilege to bear the name of Christ? It's a privilege to bear the name that's above all names, that at his name every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a privilege to be called by his name. And so I want to tell you, just embrace it. Embrace it at the times of when you're at lunch with all your friends at work, when you stop and you pray for the meal. And you don't just go through the through the motions of rub-a-dub-dub, God bless the grub. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the one who eats the fastest, eats the most. Glory to God. But really, you call upon the Lord. I'm guilty of this as well, of saying, God, you have provided this meal for us. You provided the finances that have paid for this meal. I'm telling you, there may be persecution or slander of people that are coming against you for doing what's right. Or maybe it's, you know, all the boys are going to Twin Peaks to eat. It's here now. And if you think you're just going to go in there and it's going to be the Rocky Mountains, I promise you it's a different Rocky Mountains. Believers. Hooters or whatever it is. Men, don't play with darkness. Don't play with lust. Don't play with it. And when you stand up and say, you know what, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. I'll either cross the street at Fazoli's and we'll meet up afterwards. But I'm not doing that. I'm not setting myself, my life up for failure. I'm telling you, get ready to embrace, because it's a privilege to be called by his name. Come on, who am I talking to today? Or maybe it's that business deal that you know is profitable, but you know it's unethical. Like things were lied about. John, you can go ahead and come and play. Like things have been lied about and things were bent to put it into your favor. I'm telling you, there might be people who say, look at the money we're going to make. Look at all the things. But yes, but yet, you know deep down inside, you're making the wrong move. You're making the wrong call. Or if you're a young person out there, the party, everybody's going to the party, and you know that they ain't going to put puzzles together there. You know they're not going to be there, you know, painting crafts. You know there's going to be wrong there. You might have some persecution that comes against you for doing the right thing. But I'm here to tell you, praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. I'm telling you, we're coming into a time, and I believe this is a perfect message for January 2nd, 2022, starting off the first of the year, saying, you know what, I'm putting my foot down. I'm no longer, and I'm telling you, in the beginning, you're going to be persecuted bad, because they're going to say, you know what, I know deep down inside who you really are. I know what you've done. I know this is just a front. I'm telling you, you stand the course. You stand the course. Come on, I'm going to say that by the Spirit of God. You stand the course. If you're in here today and you say, you know what, I'm making a commitment today to stay faithful to the house of God. Stay committed. Don't just make another resolution that you can break, but stay committed to the house of God. But I will tell you this, you will be persecuted. When the light is turned on, bugs are going to come. When the light's turned on, the bugs are going to come, but you need to embrace it. So I want to tell you this. Let's just stand to our feet. I hope you leave here with this, knowing this. I want to encourage you with this. Don't worry if you're being persecuted. Worry if you're not. This is an attitude. Don't worry if you're being persecuted. Worry if you're not. Because I promise you, persecution will come when you do the right thing. How many of y'all know there's been tons of persecution that have happened this last year? People that are losing their jobs because they're standing on what they feel is right for them and their own body. Persecution is going to come. Embrace it. You know, I just want to tell you this, as we've been talking about it the last couple of weeks. When you're being persecuted, or maybe you're in persecution right now, you know what it means? It means that you're a Christ-centered home and not just a Christian home. You're a Christ-centered home and not just a Christian home. I don't know about you, but a Christ-centered home is one who is poor in spirit. A Christ-centered home is a home that is meek. A Christ-centered home is one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they're satisfied. A Christ-centered home is a peacemaking home, not a peacekeeping home. A Christ-centered home is a home that is pure in heart. A Christ-centered home is a home that mourns and is comforted by the Comforter. A Christ-centered home, it's a home that's persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you, I believe this. You'll live in peace, even through persecution. I believe the kingdom of heaven will be instilled inside of your home, inside of your marriage, inside of your finances, in every area of your life, in your health. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on, who's with me today? Say, you know what? I'm going to be a Christ-centered home. Come on, don't lift your hand if you don't mean it, but I'm ready to be a Christ-centered home. Come on, keep your hand raised. Be proud of it. I want to be a Christ-centered home. God, I pray for these right now in Jesus' name. These that have their hand raised that say, you know what? I'm all about Jesus. I'm all about Jesus. So God, right now I pray for those that may feel weak right now. I pray that when we are weak, you make us strong. God, I pray that as we go off the new year, we start it off here, God, in the house of God. I pray that there is strength that is rising up in the weak right now. The poor would call themselves rich. Pray that your grace is sufficient for us. Your mercy is everlasting. So God, today, with every hand raised in this room, God, of those that have lifted their hand and said, I'm going to be a Christ-centered home, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added unto them. I pray that they would hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you will satisfy them. Lord, I pray that today that they would see themselves as the head, not the tail, the above only and not beneath. Move mightily in these moms and dads, these grandmas, these grandpas, these business owners, these workers, these employees out here. God, I pray that as they do the right thing, and even though persecution comes, Lord, we call it a privilege to bear your name. In Jesus' name. You can put your hand down. If you're in here and you say, you know what, Pastor? Going into the new year, I can honestly say this, that I'm separated from God. I saw five men be baptized that declared to the whole world that they're new and their old man was buried today. Say, you know what? I wish that was me. I can forgive myself of the things that I've said, the things that I've done, the people I've hurt. The Bible tells us this, if you cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. The Bible tells us that sin is missing the mark, that it separates us from God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm telling you with all confidence, that there's no grandma, grandpa, no friend, no wife, no son, no daughter that can forgive you like Jesus forgives you. He keeps no record of wrong, the Bible says. As far as the east is from the west, it says he has forgiven you of all the things you've done wrong. And if you're out there and say, you know what, I'm away from God. When I was a kid, I knew the Lord, but there's some things in my life that has separated me from him. It's very easy. What you do is you admit that he died on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. You admit the gospel. The second thing is you believe in your heart. You admit that you're a sinner. You believe in your heart of what he did for you. Number three is you confess him as your Lord. Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he died, he was buried, and on the third day rose again. He come live on the inside of you. The Bible says this about Jesus, that he is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You say, you know what? I'm going to need to go into the end of this year, not separated from God, but close to God, to ask for forgiveness, make things right with the Lord. Maybe that's you. Number two is this. You've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Don't leave here without a relationship with the Lord. If you question whether or not Jesus came back today, or if you died today, if you question that it's hell, don't miss out on this opportunity. If you feel like if you died today and hell would be the place that you went, torment, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't miss this opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. So I'm just going to be bold this morning and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm one of those. You're either separated from God or you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Who is that today? Just lift your hand. Who is it? Is there anybody out there? Praise God. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Come on, be bold this morning. I have two that have been. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Well, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, please pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've separated myself from you. Today, I believe that you died, you were buried, and on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. Make me new. I confess you as my Lord, and from this day forward, I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media, like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.